next in our focus segment today, February 6th, is Super Bowl Sunday here in the States. This year, the Philadelphia Eagles playing the New England Patriots in Jacksonville, Florida, for the NFL's championship. Super Bowl is not only the biggest football game of the year, but a week-long party and TV spectacular with lavishly produced commercials and a glittering roster of entertainment stars. Michael McCambridge recounts the history of the sport that became a national obsession in a book called America's Game, the epic story of how pro football captured a nation. VOA's Nancy Beardsley has more.
Welcome to the Ford Super Bowl Kickoff Show. Fittingly, the final game of the season is the most anticipated and the most celebrated.
More than 140 million people tuned in to watch the 2004 Super Bowl on television. Author Michael McCambridge describes the event as an unofficial national holiday that crosses race, age, and gender lines.
Everybody knows the Super Bowl is the most watched television show among males every year, but it's also the most watched television show among females every year. More women watch the Super Bowl than watch the Academy Awards. You have this unusual sense that you don't have a lot of other times in our culture of everybody paying attention to the same thing at the same time.
In America's Game, Michael McCambridge looks at how football became just that over the course of the 20th century. Through the first half of that century, baseball reigned supreme as America's favorite professional sport. Michael McCambridge sees the year 1946 as a turning point.
The Cleveland Rams moved to Los Angeles, and so pro football becomes the first truly national sports league. At the same time, the Rams integrate pro football a year before Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball. And at the same meeting that the Rams moved to L.A., Burt Bell was hired as commissioner. Bell was the man most responsible for creating the NFL's policy toward television. And that policy, simply stated, was all home games were blacked out. That helped spur ticket sales locally. All road games were broadcast back to the home market.
And football turned out to be a sport made for television with its use of close-up cameras and instant replays.
Just take a look at Jefferson. He runs it straight down the field, and it's first and goal at the one.
It was this constant action at a time when America became a more active culture, a little faster paced. And that became in stark contrast to baseball, which is a leisurely game, a relaxed game.
How much did the star power of individual players also contribute to the American public's growing love of the game?
I think that had a lot to do with it. When you get to the late 50s, you start to see people like Johnny Unitas, Jim Brown. And as the game gets on TV more, you start to see kids all over the country imitating Unitas' throwing motion, his follow-through, the kind of stooped shoulders. He was a tremendous icon.
In 1965, pollster Lewis Harris announced the results of a survey showing that for the first time, football was America's favorite sport. If any one person could claim responsibility for the game's surge in popularity, Michael McCambridge believes it was Pete Rozelle, who became commissioner of the National Football League in 1960. Over the next two decades, his achievements included convincing ABC to broadcast Monday night football games as part of its primetime television schedule.
It becomes an event that people gear up for and a very successful television program. Within two or three years, we see the World Series start going to primetime. We see the Olympics on primetime every night. I think Monday Night Football helped move sports toward a more central role in American popular culture.
The game has experienced its share of setbacks in recent decades. Drug scandals, multi-million dollar labor contract disputes, and at the 2004 Super Bowl, a public outcry over the halftime entertainment show. Singer Janet Jackson offended many viewers with her unexpected display of nudity during a pop duet with Justin Timberlake. Michael McCambridge sees the incident as an inevitable result of the commercialism that's come to mark the Super Bowl.
If you spend all this time creating this spectacle and have all these sideshows, pretty soon it's going to get away from you, and I think it certainly did. The hope, certainly among a lot of the people I spoke to in football, is that we're going to get back to the fact that there is a championship football game going on the field.
But the excesses and controversies haven't diminished the pleasures of the game for Michael McCambridge. After researching America's game for 5 years, collecting 90,000 documents, and doing 600 hours of interviews, he says he still looks forward to those weekly games when he can turn on the television set, sit back, and be a fan like millions of other Americans. For Focus, I'm Nancy Beardsley.